Good morning.
I'd like to talk this morning about the chapter of love, which is, of course, kind of known as 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But let's begin by looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 through 5, where it says, "Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mystery. But one who prophesies speaks to men for edification and exhortation and consolation. One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but one who prophesies edifies the church." Note today that I use the New American Standard version of the Bible, so some of the words and phrases that I may use may be slightly different. Some of your translations, but the meaning is very similar. We note at the very beginning of chapter 14, the first two words, it says, "Pursue love." You know, it doesn't say "find love." Instead, it says "pursue love." That means that love does not come easily. It does not just appear, but instead it comes with work over time. In the verses that we're about to look at in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I think we often confuse love with romance or lust. And it's probably because these verses that we're about to examine are so often connected and used in marriage ceremonies or weddings. But the reality is that marriage is kind of more related to the kind of love that we will discuss today than romance or lust. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's begin by looking at verses 1 through 3, where Paul writes, "If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing." And then verses 4 through the beginning of verse 8. "Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails." Those are the very, very famous verses that we know from so many weddings, really. But let's take a look, if we will. I've kind of listed about 16 different things that it says about love in these verses, and I just want to notice each one of them and say a brief thing about each one. Patience. Love, it says, is patient. Patience is definitely something that we are not born with. That's not a thing that we as humans are born with. It doesn't come natural to us. We have to acquire patience and learn patience over the course of our time on earth. If we think about a hungry infant, a hungry baby, a sleepy baby, they're not very patient, are they? They want to be fed. They want to be fed now. They want to go to sleep. They're angry because they can't go to sleep right now. That is a learned behavior. It's something that we have to put work into, effort into, to learn to be patient. Love, it says, is kind and is not jealous. Kindness, I think this is often also not our natural first response. At least it's not for many of us. I would say that I'm probably one of those. We instead are born to be selfish and to think of ourselves and not to think of others first. Again, think about the hungry, sleepy baby. No, some people are kind-hearted. I've seen that before in my job at school. I see that there are some kids who are kind-hearted, who their first instinct is to think of others, not of themselves. I think even here amongst us, we have people like that. Here in our very church, I think Jamie Glick, one of those kind of people. By now, Tyler may say that that's not all the time. They might have been married long enough by now that he says, "Well, she's not like that." And of course, we realize that no one's like that all the time. But there are some people that's just their first kind of reaction. These are special. Matthew chapter 5 is the Beatitudes, and there's a couple Beatitudes that we can look at in verses 5 and verse 8. Verse 5 says, "Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth." Verse 8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Even verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." But if these people were normal, average, everyday people that walk, you know, that we all walk around like this, they wouldn't be pointed out as special in the Beatitudes. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Here's one of the cases in this series of scriptures where I think we may think of jealousy and look at jealousy incorrectly whenever we read these passages. I think because we so often think of romantic jealousy, a kind of jealousy where we're afraid that someone will take our place in a relationship, that maybe our spouse or our boyfriend or girlfriend spending too much time with someone or receiving too much attention from someone. And I don't really think that's the kind of jealousy that he is writing about here. We kind of hold that thought as we look at the next things that it says. It says, love does not brag and is not arrogant. These three things, I think, together, not being jealous, not bragging, and not being arrogant, they seem to be more about being glad for others when good things happen to them, and us not being jealous of others having good fortune. That's something that's very difficult, I think, in life as we go through, and we may see ourselves working hard and maybe giving of ourselves, and then someone else receives a blessing, and we don't. Sometimes it's hard for us to feel good, be happy for that person, because we feel like maybe it's us. And this is where I kind of want to look at some of the other things in relation to these verses. Let's go back and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, just before these verses, and look at verses 29 and 30. It says, Paul writes, "All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healing. All do not speak with tongues. All do not interpret." You see, there's all these different spiritual gifts being handed out to Christians in the first century church, and they weren't given to everyone. Some people may have received, some people another gift, but I think it's easy for us to understand. Some people just kept. In fact, I think probably that's what most in the first century church, that was, God didn't need everyone to gifts all. Remember what we read at the very beginning of the lesson in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. For no one understands but in his spirit. But one who prophesies speaks to men for edification and exhortation and consolation. One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but one who prophesies the church. And then note verse 5. Now I wish that you all spoke in, but even more that you would prophesy. And greater is one who prophesies than one in tongues unless he edifies. He said, I wish that all of you, but all of you don't have. It seems that right before this chapter of love and right after this chapter of love, that there are all these spiritual gifts being given out to not everyone, but that's okay. We should be happy for others whenever they have good, and not. If good fortune falls upon us, it says, love does not brag and is not arrogant. If we're the one, back then, at that time, if someone was the one that had received a spiritual gift, they shouldn't hold that above the others who have not. We do that in our time. The next thing that the 1 Corinthians 13 says about love is it says, love does not act becomingly. It does not seek its own. Love is unselfish. Unselfish. Love, it says, is not provoked and does not take into account a wrong suffered. A very, very difficult thing. Love is not provoked. You see, sometimes people provoke us, don't they? They try to get us to get angry or upset. And boy, sometimes it's awful. People know what to say the right thing. But love is not provoked. You can't make me hate. You can't make me upset with because I love you. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. People, as we go through life, we know that sometimes people hurt our feelings. Sometimes people do something that makes us feel as though they have betrayed us, have betrayed our relationship, our friendship. But love doesn't take that into. Remember, love forgives, and that's such a difficult in life to really not bring those. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. Of course, again, this is another place where I think the kind of love that Paul is writing about in first is not wrong love, that's lustful. And I think it also could refer to another difficult thing for us, is that we shouldn't be happy if something bad happens to someone, even if it's our enemy. Sometimes that's so easy for us. And then in life, if you wait long enough, something will happen. The way our life goes here on earth, if you wait long enough, something bad will happen. We shouldn't be happy that they're suffering or having. It says, but love rejoices with them. Famously then it says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all the struggle and fight through, to make it through even though it not just is, but in the very beginning of verse 8 is with love. If we look down at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, but now faith, hope, love abide. These three, the greatest is love. Romance may fade, kind of go away, but true love grows over time in all our relationships, our husbands and wives, our relations. True love grows. Love will be tested. Love will take work. Love requires unselfishness. It's very difficult. And oftentimes, true love is not appreciated and looked back at later. I was reminded of the play and the Broadway Mueller on the Roof. The character, the lead character, Tevye, his wife, Goldie, have an arranged marriage. They're older. They've got becoming adults to adulthood. And they had an arranged marriage. Marriage had never been met until their wedding day. And now they're about to break an arrange for one of their daughters because she loves. And it prompts Tevye to ask his wife, Goldie, do you love me? And there's a whole little song that at first she thinks he's joking, there's something wrong with it. He continues to ask her, do you love me? And her response is this. She says these lines, lyrics throughout the song. For 25 years, I've washed your clothes, cooked your meals, cleaned your house, given you children, and milked the cow. Later on, she says, for 25 years, I've lived with him, fought with, starved with him. 25 years, my bed is his. If that's not love, what is? If you endure all of those things together over the course of a life, then the end result of those sometimes hard times, good times, bad times, is love. Of course, this explains how we may truly love people who are members of our family or friends, good friends over time and shared experience. But it also explains the love that Christ showed for us throughout not only his life, but his capture and arrest, the trials that he went through, and of course, the true love that he showed for us. If we think about what Christ did for us, particularly at the end of his life, living his life perfectly, being innocent of everything that he was being accused of, being betrayed, and not just betrayed, but being betrayed by Judas, one of the 12 that was hanged by him, the apostle. The innermost part of his inner circle betrayed him. To be denied by Peter, not just an apostle, but the rock that Christ chose to build his church on, the statement that Peter made of faith and belief that Jesus was indeed the Christ. And Peter denied him. And then, of course, finally, by going through the pain and death and agony of hanging on a cross, that Christ did all of those things. Let's try to have more love in our life and remember the love that Christ gave us, because if Christ suffered all those things for us, we have to ask the same question Tevye's wife asked him. That's not love. What is? If there's anything that we can do to help anyone this morning to come to Christ and come into the love that we have together as brothers and church and sisters in Christ Church, please let us know as we come forward as we stand in it.